serious with this is that's, you know, when I got a sponsor, she's here. So, you know, I think she's here. She was here. There she is. And this is Tula. And so, you know, when I finally got a sponsor and decided that I wanted to do this, like you guys suggested, you know, my life started to change. I still fought it. You know, I'm one of those people that, you know, I'm still a little bit more special than you guys and probably, you know, a little smarter. And, you know, my life sucked a lot more than yours did. So, you know, I probably should, you know, be given a little bit extra, you know, attention for those, you know, and sympathy for those reasons. Beverly really wasn't having a whole lot of that. But when I did the first fourth step, what you said to me was, you know, open up the book, you know, start reading, get into the book. That's where the program is. Open up the book.
Give me that.
And start writing. And so it's what I did. I opened up the book and I started writing, but I didn't open up the book in the right place. I went to rehab, I went to detox and I went to rehab. And so they handed me chapter 5 first, and it's an amazing chapter, but it's not the beginning of the book. And it starts to talk about the solution, but I didn't know what the problem was. And so, you know, without identification of the problem, the solution didn't really mean a whole lot to me. So, so it said in here further on, I think in the action, it says, you know, we can get better until we told someone else all our life story. So I wrote down my entire life story over the period of, I don't know, weeks and weeks and weeks. And so when I said to Beverly, you know, I'm ready to do this fifth step, you know, we got together and she spent 8 hours with me on one Saturday and 6 hours the next. And I just sort of vomited all this garbage onto her. And it didn't really... Thank God that she, you know, knew how to do this, because I didn't. Because what she did in that first fourth step and in that fifth step was gently guide me around to seeing where my part was in a lot of these horrible things that had happened to me. And you know, I needed that because I still, you know, I was such a victim, and I really just was absolutely convinced that you guys couldn't possibly understand this. And so, you know, I stayed a victim for quite some time. And the first fourth step, when I sponsor someone and I work the steps with them, I try to get them into at least the first fourth step very quickly for a couple of reasons. One, that's because that's what the book says. And two, it's been my experience that the first fourth step will keep them from stepping in front of a bus. Because we come in with so much garbage, you know, big garbage, and we got to get rid of some of it right away. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter how much they do. Sometimes it's just a few things, like, you know, I'm so resentful at my fill in the blank, parole officer, mom, church, grandmother, husband, kids, that if they get that garbage out, it gives them just enough relief that they're willing, you know, to do more work. And that's been my experience with the women that I sponsor. And we went to, I don't even know how to like word this. Jack and I went to a big conference on Saturday night that was, I think, in California. I don't know. People were all over the world. And one of the sections that we went to, there were two people talking about steps 4 and 5. And I wrote something down because I've probably heard it a million times, but when this guy said it, I heard it. And what he said was, the fourth step for me showed me that the problems of my own making were of my own making, and nobody else needed to get better for me to get better. And I went, you know, because I always wanted to make everybody else better. And because if everybody else got better, then, you know, my life would be okay. It never worked like that. I spent decades trying to make it work like that, and it didn't work like that. So when I finally really, really settled down, you know, my last drunk was a Memorial Day weekend. And I had done this sort of fourth and fifth step, but but I was still pretty special, you know, and so I didn't do what the book suggests that I do after that, which is immediately, you know, take the book down from the shelf and look over the first five proposals and, you know, then look at six and seven. I'd done such a good job on this huge, massive fourth step and fifth step that I rested. And I rested right into a drunk, and I didn't see it coming, you know. And so when I came back that time and I reintroduced, I thought, you know what, I need to learn how to do this according to the book, because that's what you people told me I had to be doing, that the solution is in the big book. That's the basic text. And so when I started to do that, I had to be spoon-fed the book, because I just couldn't read. I couldn't focus on anything. I couldn't read. And so I had to be spoon-fed this book. And so, you know, when I got to step four in the book, I really needed some guidance, because I didn't understand. It's very clear. It's way too simple, which is why I had such a problem with it, because it's so simple and so clear about exactly what I need to do. You know, when do I need this to do the fourth step next? Next, right after the third step. There's no resting room on any of it, you know? And so that's, you know, that's what I needed to be doing. I needed to be doing the fourth step next. And so, sorry about that. It says here that our decision, which is step three, was a vital and crucial step. It could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. And all of these things had been blocking me from the sunlight of the spirit. I didn't understand that until I started to go through this. I didn't really have, you know, step three was kind of a decision to do the rest of the steps. I kind of took the God part out of it. How nice. Delivery of water. Thank you. You know, I didn't really think that I was going to end up with some kind of a relationship with a higher power out of this. That wasn't really my goal ever. And so, you know, it talks about, you know, what is an inventory? You know, what am I doing with this inventory? I'm trying to figure out what I need to get rid of. And it terrified me, because I thought if I get rid of all of these things, because I didn't really see them as defects of character. I just saw them as part of my charming personality. You know, lying, cheating, stealing, all those things, you know, were just part of my charming personality. And so I didn't know who I was going to be if I looked at all this stuff and I decided that I needed to get rid of it. It was terrifying to me. And what I discovered after, you know, after doing numerous four steps is that what happens is, you know, God comes in and fills up those boxes with better things. And I've heard people say that, you know, when you're doing your inventory, you should write down good things too. That didn't work for me, because I didn't have anything. Every personality trait that I had, I used to excess. So there was nothing that was good. It was all completely, you know, if I was doing nice things, it was because I had bad motives. There wasn't really anything in there that I considered to be worth keeping at that point. So it tells me exactly in the book, you know, what I need to do. The first thing I had to do was I had to look at my resentments, and I honestly didn't think I had any. And until somebody explained to me what they were, and what they are is, you know, if there's somebody running around in my mind, and every time I think about them, I start to look a little bit better and they start to look a little bit worse, that's a resentment. And you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't have any resentments, and I didn't think I did. And when they said, start to write those down, write down those resentments, make a list of the people and institutions and principles that you have a resentment at, I was shocked. I was stunned, because once I sat down and I started writing, I was resentful at everyone and everything. You know, if the sun was out, I resented that. If it was raining, I resented that. I resented my parents, my children, my ex-husband, my grandparents, the Catholic Church, you know, all sorts of things. And that's what was running my life. And I didn't know that until I started to look at it. And that's what it says, you know, we set these on paper. And so I put down all these names of all these things. And then I had to ask myself why I was angry. Well, I knew why I was angry. I still know why I'm angry when I'm angry. I know why. It may not be a valid reason, but I still know why I'm angry. So then it told me that I needed to write that down. And when I started to write down all that anger, which again, for me was really scary because I was so afraid that if I let go of all of this rage, what was going to happen? I didn't know what was going to happen. I was afraid to let loose with this rage because that's all I could feel was rage. And I was afraid that I would explode or that I would do something horrible. And what happens is when I start to get it out on paper and I get to take a look at it and I share it with another person, it goes away. And you know, when I finally figured that out, it was a huge relief. But you know, none of this came easily to me. And it didn't come easily to me because I was not willing. And then, you know, when I finally got to the point where I really was done and I really was willing, and I was willing to go to any lengths, this became so much easier. And so, you know, I started to write this stuff down and I was angry at everybody for the same reason. Either they didn't give me what I wanted. They called me out on my crap. You know, I didn't feel like I got what I deserved. You know, everything was, you know, someone had wronged me in some ridiculous way. And then a little bit further on in the book, it says that, you know, we went back through our lives. And so, you know, I started to go back through my life. And this is not, you know, you don't start from like birth and go forward. You go back from today. So who was I resentful at right now? Who was running around in my head right now? And, you know, the ex-husband took the prime spot. Probably a lot of people can say that. He was the number one resentment in my life. And so, you know, I looked at that. And then it says in here, you know, we placed ourselves in positions which caused us later to be hurt. And when I saw that and I understood what that meant, it was just another huge revelation. Because I would do something and 3 weeks later, someone would retaliate and I would have absolutely no reason why they were doing that to me because, you know, here I am, I'm wonderful. Well, because, you know, yeah, I did whatever I did because 3 weeks ago you stole money off the bar, you tried to steal my husband, you know, whatever it was. And so I had to really take a look at those things and start to put them together. And, you know, and then it says, you know, what's going on? What is this affecting? Well, is it affecting my social life, my security, you know, my sex instincts? Is it about money? Is it about self-esteem? Is it about wanting to be taken care of, wanting to be liked? All those things added in there for me. And I realized that I thought, you know, I thought that a lot of the stuff on my sex inventory page had to do with sex. Almost none of it did. Almost everything on that page had to do with the fact that I either wanted to be liked or loved or I wanted to be taken care of. And that was a huge relief for me because you know, in my mind, I was this terrible, immoral, amoral person. And that was not the reality. Until I saw it written down on paper and saw the reasons that I did what I did, I could start to realize that, you know, I really was a very, very sick person, very spiritually ill. And so, you know, I looked at all these things and then it gives me an opportunity to, you know, ask myself, you know, what could I have done differently? And of course, I didn't have any clue what I could have done differently. I had never done anything differently. And so that's where, you know, that for me was where, you know, Beverly really came in and just talking to other people in the meeting. And she would say to me sometimes, you know, I don't really have a lot of experience with this, but if you talk to this person, they can probably help you. And so, you know, I had this whole big, wonderful support group of women that I didn't even know were available until I really started to open up and ask for help. And you know, women like Helen, you know, Helen's not my sponsor, but, you know, Helen's helped me with all kinds of stuff, you know, and Susan and Michelle and Bridget and everybody, you know, it's just so amazing how everything that I've been through, someone else has been through it before me. And Beverly always says, you know, whatever you're going through, it's because somewhere down the road, you're going to get to use this to help someone else. And God doesn't give us anything we can't handle with him. And so, you know, that is how I finally, you know, did a thorough and honest fourth step the first time. I don't know how many I've done since then. Several. And then every time I, you know, I go through the steps with a woman that I sponsor, I love doing it now. I always learn more about me. We have unlimited minutes. Why, thank you, Kevin. We've just been upgraded. I learn a little bit more about me, and I get to share, you know, about me and about, you know, what held me back from the sunlight of the Spirit, and what was blocking me from God, and what was blocking me from, you know, wanting to go farther, to want to get better, to feel like I deserved to get better, because, you know, I was so full of guilt and shame and remorse, and all of that was in these fourth steps, you know, and I was so full of fear. I didn't know that it was fear until I started to look at this. They, you know, they give me the option. I get to write about the resentments, and then I get to take a look at my fears. And I was afraid of everything. I didn't know that. I just didn't know what fear really was, I guess. I was afraid of everything. And so it was kind of a lot of my resentments were also on my fear list, because, you know, a lot of these people that I resented was because I was afraid. I was afraid that they're going to find out something about me that I don't want them to find out. I'm afraid they're going to take something from me. They're going to do something to me, or I'm going to lose something. And so for me, the resentment and the fear, so many of those lists just crossed over, you know, and then I got to look at my sex conduct, and I didn't want to do that, because I really, like I said, I thought I was an amoral and immoral person, and this wasn't about, you know, this wasn't about everybody that I slept with. This was about who had I hurt, you know, where did I flirt. You know, I'm in a relationship and I flirt with somebody else, or, you know, I go to the bar and I flirt with somebody's husband, and, you know, it's those kinds of things. Who did I hurt? And my name goes on that list too, because, you know, every time we hurt another person, we hurt ourselves. We don't maybe know that, but it is the absolute truth. And so when I started to look at that, I realized that, you know, that had nothing to do with anything other than that I was selfish and self-centered and dishonest. And I didn't really care what anybody else thought or felt, because everything was mine. And if you didn't like that, that wasn't really my problem. So, you know, for me, the fourth step, without a thorough fourth step, we can't possibly open ourselves up to the sunlight of the Spirit, because that's where I put down on paper, you know, everything that I have done to harm myself and another person. And, you know, after the first really good one, you know, a couple weeks later, I'm like, oh man, you know, I forgot to write this down, or I forgot to write that down, or, oh, what about this person? Or what about that person? And it isn't even so much about the people. It's about the reasons behind all of these actions. You know, that's what I didn't know. I really didn't know why I was hurting these people. I knew why I was angry at them, except, you know, the reason for my anger was not real. And the big book talks about that. You know, I would have conversations in my head with people, and then when I saw that person, I would be angry at them for the conversation that I had with them in my head that they knew nothing about. And so a lot of my resentments were fancy. I just made stuff up, you know? And gosh, you know, It's funny because I'll still do that once in a while. I don't do it very often, and I don't follow through. Like, I'm not mad at the other person because of whatever I've created in my head that they've said. But it's a good reminder for me that I still need to stay close to, I still need to stay close to the fellowship, and I still need to stay close to God, and I still have a lot of work to do. And I think that I probably run out of words for now. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, now it's time for a question and answer. I think I set it up so you can unmute yourself to ask Terry a question. So is there anybody there that has a question for Terry about the fourth step?
You guys, you know, if you don't, Kevin will, so.
Yeah, I'll have to make up something here, you know. Okay, nobody is unmuting themselves. We have,
Marion.
Okay, go, Marion.
All right. Hey, thanks, Terry. That was excellent. I'm Marion. I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Marion.
When you're sponsoring women, do you find, at least I find this, do you find that the first time around, there's a lot of defensiveness, a lot of, and I probably did it too. Yeah, but that person was wrong. A real need to make me aware that person was wrong. And eventually there's an aha moment when you know, women I sponsor get it. They'll say, I see, you know, what the part is. But do you find that when you're working with people?
Absolutely. That's funny because and I was like that too. Yeah, but you don't understand. You know, if he hadn't done this to me, then I wouldn't do that. Because the habits were how I ran my life. And yeah, I get the resistance too and the pushback. And well, you know, and I tell them what is, you know, exactly what it says in the book that, you know, yes, other people were wrong. But that's usually as far as most of us got, it was to conclude that other people were wrong and whatever they did really isn't about what I did or what you did. And boy, it's, you know, it's, I get torn at, you know, frequently, but it's, you know, it's okay. Because I remember that, you know, I remember just being so stubborn and not wanting to really admit that, geez, you know, maybe this relationship failed because of the things that I did, not just because of the things the other person did or whatever it was. You know, I got fired from this job because my boss is a jerk. Well, your boss was a jerk because you stole money, you know, those kind of things. So yeah, I definitely get that. And it's funny because I just looked down at the book and there are five prayers for the fourth step in the big book, and I didn't know that because they're you know woven in there so gently that they don't look like prayers, and I was really grateful for that because I still wasn't real cued on the prayer thing, you know, so they just kind of slide them in there real gently, and I'm grateful for that. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Okay, Mark Johnson.
Oh, hi, thanks. This is Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Terry. Thank you for what you said. And you hit a point that my previous sponsor drilled in my head a gazillion times, and it took me a long time to get it. And I have a hard time with my sponsees. How do you encourage those you're working with to go from the what I did to why I did it? You said it when you were sharing that it – what you did wasn't near as important as why you did it, because that's the meat of the fifth step, actually, is the nature of our wrongs. How do you get beyond that point?
It's funny because one of the women that I was talking to, I don't even think it's one of the women that I sponsor. I was talking to somebody and she was telling me something, and I said, well, you know, why'd you do that? And she said, I don't know. And I said, well, you are the only one who does know. So maybe you need to, you know, look a little bit deeper. And then usually what I'll do is I'll say, well, you know, I had a similar experience, and in this experience, you know, this is what I did. And then I found out that this is why I did it. You know, I was desperate to, you know, by the time that I got to AA, I was just desperate to be taken care of. I just, whatever living skills I had, by the time I got to AA, I could barely tie my shoes by myself. I just didn't trust myself at all, and I had no good instincts left. And so, when somebody would say to me, well, why did you do that? You know, I had to default back to just a few short answers. You know, what was I looking to gain, or what was I looking not to lose, and what was I afraid of? Because for me, those were the three questions. You know, what am I afraid of if I find out why I did this? You know, what is going to happen if I admit to myself that these are the reasons that I did those things? For me, it comes right back to, if I give all this stuff up, then who will I be? Who will I be? What will I do? Who will I be? How will I act? How will I know who I am? I'm whoever God's molding me into now. It's tough. We don't want to look at why we do things. And so you just got to kind of, I'm one of those ones where I'll poke them until they get angry, because it's been my experience that a lot of times women will not get angry. You know, they will just kind of shut down. And if there's something that I know that they really need to get out, I will push them until they get angry. And then generally that's when the real answer comes out, because they're mad and it's sort of an F you, this is why I did it. I don't know if it works that way with guys, but it definitely works that way with women. Thanks.
Well, the hardest part I had was getting people to get that. And Jim used to always say this, he said, if I can read it on paper in a police report, that isn't the fourth step. That's what, it's not the why. And you're right, getting to that why, I can feel the anger in myself now at him, because he kept pushing me all the time. See, I don't care that you did that. I don't care what you did. It doesn't matter. I'm like, what do you mean it doesn't matter? Of course it matters. It took me, but until I got to that, why, this is why it matters. It wasn't what, it was why. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Anybody else have a question?
Leslie does.
Leslie does. Oh, good. Go, Les. Go ahead, Leslie.
I'm unmuting myself right now.
Yeah, so, that's good, because I'm the host is not that competent.
I was gonna say, I think Terry's doing a good job without you. So
I know.
Good thing you set up the platform. Thank you for that. I've done that, but I wanted to just begin by saying my first sponsor did that. She would prod me and poke me, and she always told me that I'd much rather you go homicidal than suicidal with you. That's how you get it out. And that worked for me, and I've done that. But I guess I was kind of interested in, number one, the timing. Are you a person who likes to let people sit on their third step, or do you take the big book at its face word that's next?
I absolutely do, because I sat on the third step because I didn't want to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I then understood him. I didn't want to do that. And so, you know, people would say to me, it's just a decision to do the rest of the steps. And so, you know, when I use the analogy, and those of you who have heard it a zillion times, they're going to laugh, but, you know, it's just a decision. And it says in here, you know, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things that have been blocking us. And I can make a decision to put on red socks, but if I put on black socks, the red sock decision doesn't matter. So I have to take the action right away. And I don't, You know, I know people that say, well, I just let them start doing the four step whenever they feel they're ready. Well, I would have never been ready if somebody had, you know, left me to my own devices. I would not have done a four step ever. And so I get them into it right away. And it doesn't really matter to me what their understanding of step three really is, because they're gonna figure it out. But like I said, getting that first load of garbage out to me is really important. And, you know, we do it right away and I give them 2 weeks. And, you know, certainly there's circumstances where that has to be a little bit flexible. But generally 2 weeks, I think, is long enough to be carrying around that garbage because you're walking around with your guts hanging out. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, I don't let them sit on it very long and I don't let them wait. I, you know, that's, we don't get happy until we get through this stuff. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Star.
Hi. Can I speak?
You can.
You can.
Hi, I'm Star. I'm an alcoholic.
Nice, Star.
Hi, Leslie. I really like your background. Is that the prison from The Walking Dead? Because that's what I thought. when I did my fourth step with Terry, it was the probably third or fourth step that I had done. And I was just feeling yucky. And I said to her, hey, I need something to work on. And she said, oh, well, why don't you do your fourth step on all the relationships with men you've ever had, starting with your father? I was one of those women that swore at her a lot at that moment when she, I mean, like, oh, she said it so casually, like, what? But I think that's I've heard some people say, you know, if you do a good 10th step every night, you don't have to do another fourth step. And I'm fortunate that none of my sponsors have subscribed to that belief. And I've done a few fourth steps. And that one, I cannot stress enough how helpful that was and how beneficial that was in every part of my life. And it was from that fourth step, I got that load off my shoulders that so many people talk about. You know, the other fourth steps that I've done were more gradual in the way that they helped me and I saw the benefits. That one, I had no idea how much I needed it. And so, Terry, that brings me to my question. Why did you decide that? I mean, how, you know, when you've got women that have been in the program for a while, how do you decide when it might be time for them to do another fourth step and what to focus on?
I honestly don't think that it was me that decided that. I mean, I remember the exact day, and I remember just sort of, we could have been talking about the weather. It was just such a casual statement. But I don't think it was me. I just think it was God. That was just where, or the universe, or, you know, whatever your choice of higher power is, was just working through me, because that was what you needed at the time. And so, you know, a lot of it is for me is that if I'm spiritually fit, I can be a really good sponsor. If I'm not spiritually fit, not so much, you know. That just happened to be a good day. Thanks, Char.
All right. Anybody else out there?
Yes, I have another question. Actually, I kind of forgot to ask it the first time. So again, this is Leslie Alcoholic. And I was wondering, you know, you talk a whole lot about delving into reasons why. And, you know, and then you talked about, you know, the 2 week time frame. I was wondering, how much do you engage in some conversation and back and forth as the person you're working with tries to come up with some of those reasons? And how proactive were you at popping that that denial balloon, you know, whenever it's like, well, I did that because I'm just such a nice person, instead of, you really did it, you know, you really did it for the attention, honey. You wanted everyone to think you were a saint when you're not. So how does that go with you? You know, do you wait for them to call? Do you like reach out periodically? What do you do to kind of facilitate that honesty and self-discovery?
Well, you know, sometimes because I'm busy. I mean, I'm certainly less busy now, as we all are. But, you know, overall, I have a pretty busy life. And so, you know, some of the women will hope that I forgot. And so they just kind of don't say anything if I don't say anything. But I know, you know, I always know where they're at with the steps. And so, yeah, I'll call them out on it and say, hey, where you at with this? You got like 3 days left. But if it's someone that's going through the steps for the first time, I give them a lot of help. And I say, you know, because they don't know what a resentment is. I didn't know what it was. And so, you know, I say, okay, well, you know, here's who you need to write yourself down, and you need to write down God and your mother and your father and your ex-husband and, you know, your parole officer. And, you know, write those things down. Make that list first. And then, you know, and it's funny because once you start writing that list, the list can get really long, you know. And so that's, you know, it's like once they start, they it's easier. It's starting. That's the hardest part. And yeah, if they have questions, they can call me and ask me. And I say, well, you know, this is how I did it. You know, this is what I suggest. This is what this means to me. And I do call bullshit. You know, that's my job. You know, it's not my job, you know, especially in their early recovery. It's not my job to be their buddy or their friend. You know, it's my job to help them save their own life. You know, that's how come us sponsors get paid the big bucks, you know. and so I just, you know, it's about that. It's about holding them accountable, because nobody held me accountable for years. Anybody that tried to hold me accountable was out of my life. Mm-hmm. And so, and I've had women fire me, you know, because they didn't want to be held accountable. And, you know, that's totally on them. It's totally on them. You know, and also, you know, everybody's different. I don't sponsor 100% the same way with everybody. You know, my relationship with Shar is a whole lot different than my relationship with Beth or, you know, Maggie or Debbie or, you know, whoever else. My relationship with these women, it's, you know, they're all different people. And so, you know, sometimes some of them need a little more help and a little more guidance. And some of them are like, okay, you know, I can figure this out, you know? And so, but I don't let him sit, and I don't let him off the hook. And Jerome, I just got to say, I love the mask. I just, thanks, Leslie.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else want to ask a question? No, you guys. Okay, I do. I have a question. Hi, I'm Kevin. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Kevin.
Anyway, my question is, once you do a four-step and somebody who's been sober for a while, I've heard in the rooms that some people say, well, I had to do another four-step on that. Do you have experience with the women that you sponsor that say, oh, I need... that maybe you need to do a four-step on that, and how do you guide them with that, if you do?
Well, I've actually done that with a few of the women. Most of the women that I sponsor don't come to me like they're not new. I think I scare the new women. I don't know. But most of the women that I sponsor have been sober for a period of time. So I have to deprogram them, and, you know, we start over at the beginning, and sorry, completely lost my train of thought there for a second. My relationship with all of them is so different that, you know, I one of the women that I'm working with now, she's going through some big life changes, and there's nothing she can do about it because it's not really about her, but it's going to affect her because it's somebody that lives in the house with her. And so, you know, we're going to take a look at this, and we're going to look at it just this particular thing, because this particular event that's going on is bringing up some memories from her past. So this particular thing does need to be looked at. And I don't say, okay, you had to do a fourth step on your relationship with your grandma. You know, it's if there's a pattern of things that keep coming up, that this behavior keeps tripping somebody up, then I'm going to say, you know, like I said with Shar, you know, okay, I want you to do a fourth step on your relationship with every man you've ever known in your life, starting with your dad. And I really thought she was going to punch me, honestly. because those were the things.
I thought I was going to punch you too.
Those were the things that were, you know, that were blocking her from getting better, from healing. Because this is just about us healing ourselves. You know, it's, you know, once we're healed, then we get to have really good relationships, you know, but the healing doesn't come right away. And sometimes you got to dig a little deeper, and sometimes you got to do four steps on just this area of your life. And this woman is, you know, she's doing a fourth step on specific things. It doesn't necessarily happen often, but yeah, you know, we don't, you know, recovery's an upward spiral, and I keep coming back to the same things. I think we all do. It's just on a different level, and I got to peel a few more layers back. Thanks. Hi, Dennis. I'm really glad you're here.
All right. Well, thanks. Anybody else going to break out of their shyness and their fourth step?
And this isn't a shy bunch either, really.
No, this is pretty good. Everybody's not, nobody has any questions. Well, the good thing about this meeting is that we never go an hour, so it's always a short meeting. I guess we'll thank Terry for tonight. Let's give her a hand. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Terry.
Okay, so I've got a couple. You can all unmute yourself whenever you want, if you want to be heard. Next week, Terry is going to be speaking, I think, on steps 5, 6, and 7.
Yes.
Okay, so it's at... We'll be at this time again. We'll be at 6 o'clock. You can hopefully sign in by at 5:45, and hopefully I'll be there. And are there any announcements or anything from the members here tonight? They are totally quiet.
Thank you, guys. It was really nice to see faces. It was really nice to see you guys' faces. There's 31 of you on here. That's really pretty awesome. That makes me happy. So I think we did pretty good for the first time out of the gate.
Right. So there, that my virgin ship has sailed. So goodbye. Another one bites the dust. Anyway,
Kevin, I have a question for Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan, are we doing, glad you're here on Monday, Zoom?
Yeah, I just have to find a lead, and I'll send out some information tomorrow.
Have you sent information out to everybody?
No, I am tomorrow. Tomorrow I will.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
It's don't good ask to too see many questions, everybody. Bridget, or you'll be the speaker.
you know what? I got a story right in my back pocket, you know, whatever.
No, that's been great. Leslie?
Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie, alcoholic again. And I wanted to mention that the Young People in AA conference that was canceled is also going Zoom. I had just gotten an email about it. And I'll keep posting and letting people know when I have more. They're looking to have a Zoom conference May 1st and 2nd, I believe. So just FYI.
That's perfect. Okay, anybody else have anything to say? Go ahead, Mark.
Mark, alcoholic. Sunday nights at 7 o'clock, there's an awesome Live and Let Live meeting.
Who's that?
It's my home group. We tend to have anywhere from, I think we've had 7 or 8, up to 15 people on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock here on Zoom. If you message me on Facebook or message me here, or Leslie is also a member of the home group there, we'll get you hooked up for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
If Leslie gets out of jail in time for the meeting, that is.
And they might, they're never going to let me out because I misbehave. I don't know. I might get a reprieve, though, because of the flu.
So I just want to remind everybody that next week is steps 5, 6, and 7. And if you would invite somebody and pass this information on, we can close with the serenity prayer. Okay? I'm going to unmute everybody because that's the only thing I know how to do. God. Grant me the serenity.
To accept things that cannot change. The courage to change the things I can.
Wisdom to know the difference.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Have a great week. And we will see you next week. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks,
Terry. Great job.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks for setting us up. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.